The Church Media Podcast, episode 172, Engineering with Audio Legend Bill Thrasher, part 2. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio, lighting, video, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me this week. If you missed any of our episodes, especially last week's, as we started a three-part series with Bill Thrasher, I'd love for you to jump into our archives. You can catch up by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes or listen on our website at thechurchmediapodcast.com. This week, we continue our conversation with audio legend Bill Thrasher. Bill has been the head audio engineer for such projects as Disney's Epcot Center, the Super Bowl, Billy Graham Crusades, just to name a few. So a couple of little small projects. He has also consulted and helped with installs at dozens of churches to help enhance the sound of their worship experiences. This dude is a pioneer. We're going to jump right back into my interview with Bill right after a quick church media tip. Fire it.
And now, your church media tip of the week. Useful tips and tricks to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. Here's Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, here's my church media tip for you this week. Constantly remind your team of your why. It should not be a question in the minds of your volunteers why they serve. Have a clear, concise vision and hammer it over and over and over. People should get tired of hearing your vision. Now, your vision could be, we create experiences where people meet Jesus and take their next step with Him. They don't have to have the words memorized, but they do need to be able to explain your vision to others and own it themselves. If your team members aren't clear on why they serve on your team or why they are performing certain tasks, they will leave. Your vision or your why is the foundation in which your team is built on. So start with your why and consistently remind your team of your why, of your vision. And if you do that, they will know why they serve.
Get more free coaching for your production team through our blog, podcast, and online resource library. Visit 1230.media/training today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
So that kind of leads us into talking about church tech volunteers and crews at churches. So what's your take on most church tech crews over the years? Are you seeing more technically savvy people in church world, or do you think that there's much room for improvement?
Yes, sort of both, yes. Yeah, there's enormous room for improvement. I'm not sure. I'm really struggling. I am now 65 years old. I like music. I like all types of music. At my last concert my wife and I went to was less than a year ago. Lyle Lovett and his large band was in town. We have enormous. I saw the Beatles live in Atlanta. I still go to live music concerts. I enjoy it greatly. But I go to church and I sit there and I just, for me, I cringe. Can't we work a little harder on the music and work on the audio both? Are we getting better or not? My tendency right now is to say most of the time it seems to be going downhill, not uphill. And I'm not sure from my viewpoint, it is two or three things. Number one, it is the music itself. Who's picking the songs? I met someone from a church not long ago that says, oh, well, we're picking the songs we do on Sunday morning are the songs that our local Christian radio station plays these songs. That's what we're going to play on Sunday mornings. So you're letting the radio station here pick the songs you're going to do at your church. How do you coordinate that with the pastor's message? And there's like, we don't. Okay. Wow. Interesting. I have a very good friend who was a minister of music that was one of my ministers of music. He was an organizational monster. He had files. Here's what song we have done every Sunday for the last 50 years. Here's my organization. He kept records. He organized. He was always looking for, where's a song I haven't done in a while that's appropriate for this service,
right,
and for this message? And he would go back and dig in his files and find something. And you'd walk away going, wow, how did he pick the right song? That song's amazing. I haven't heard that song in 20 years, and it's the perfect song. But he was a monster of organization. I think that's the type of thing. So I'm worried about the music. I'm worried about the music side of it. Who's the music director? Why are you picking the song? Who's picking the songs? That's one monster. Second thing, who's doing the arranging? Who's saying, yeah, we need a lick here. We don't need a lick here. It's so much of it to me is just everybody's on their own doing their thing, and there's this pile of sound that I've got to deal with. Is it the right song? Is it being performed the correct way? It's complicated. Music is complicated. It's far more complicated. I wish it were easier, but it isn't. That's just part of what music is. It's just very complicated. And picking the right song, the right time, and having the right instruments, the right everything about it, getting it right. That's tough. And when you hear a song and you hear the right band do the right song, you see the right thing, you walk away and go, wow, that was just magic. And yet I don't get that at church as much right now. In fact, I'm struggling a little bit. We've got several churches we're visiting around, and we're struggling to find somewhere I can walk away and go, it doesn't have to be fancy. It just needs to be. It needs to be appropriate. It needs to be decently good.
Yeah.
But I don't need a full orchestra and a giant choir and craziness. I just need you to pick the perfect song and go, oh man, I haven't heard that song in 30 or 40 years. It was the perfect song to sing before that message.
Right. Exactly.
Those are the things I'm listening to right now, and I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about the technology being so complicated. And this immediate, well, if we just throw more tech, it'll get better. Which at some point I go, I don't think it will. I think you have to actually back off sometimes.
Yeah. And one thing that you mentioned there is something that we teach and talk about quite a bit, and that is planning with your pastoral team and taking your audience on a journey, and it not just be random songs and random things. But it's one journey that you're taking the audience on every Sunday. Yep. And so it all kind of, you know, matches and is themed together and is matched with the message of the
right.
day, things like that. So it was so good to hear that. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think that if you're in a situation where there is a competent church sound technician with a great deal of training, do you think that that person can train a volunteer to mix live sound effectively? You follow what I'm getting at? Does it have to be a hired gun?
I think you understand the idea, and it all comes down to complexity at some point or another. If it's a simple three- or four-piece thing, how complicated is that? Or is it a big orchestra and craziness? The training level gets a simpler program, a simpler operator can do it. Okay, it's less difficult to do. As these things crank up, I never liked doing the opening of the Epcot Center. I couldn't have done it by myself. I had a team of people working, that did all their parts, and we had a huge group that had to pull work together to make something that elaborate work well. And my problem is Sunday morning. It's we get in a routine, you know, kind of get in a rut. We'll just be there at this time. We're going to do the sound check at this time. We'll do the time for the service. Go, and it's so easy to get I don't know what the right word is. You get in a rut, and you're just doing the same things over because that's what we did last week. And that's one of my great worries, is it's not. How do I train somebody? Yes, I have done a lot of training with guys, and my big thing on most of them is learn to deal with this level controls first, you know, the faders, if you will. That I can reach up and just touch a fader, a dB or two, and if it's done right, I go, you just made it perfect. You know, you don't have to grab a whole bunch of technology to make a simple change or make the appropriate change. And that's one of my great concerns is, how do I teach, if I get a volunteer especially, I need to teach them some degree of music. How do I teach them verse, chorus, turn around, here's where the guitar solo comes in? How do you teach someone how to organize music, read music enough, make notes, so that when the band plays it, you got your cues? I always had three by five cards, and I could put my notes on them, and if they rearrange the order, I could rearrange my cards, but I had notes of what's going to happen in this song, what needs to happen in this song, what cue have I got to hit, what cues have I got to hit, those type of things. Are we teaching those things? There's a lot to learn if you're going to be a sound guy. It's not just sit there and turn the knobs until it sounds good. It's so much more than that. I hope I didn't over-answer that.
No.
Probably did.
So let's talk about rehearsals and more experience and things like that. So what are some things in that regard that would produce a better live mix?
Not sure. Rehearsals are obviously they're incredibly valuable. I think part of this would be I need the music director at times to walk off the stage and listen to it. And if there's something not right, go over and talk to the sound man if necessary. Or walk back up on the stage and go, rhythm guitar, you're playing something that's kind of clashing. I need the guy in charge. Yeah, I know he's usually on stage singing, and therefore it's hard for him to tell everything that's going on, but I also need him to walk out and listen and come back and say, here's something that's not working right. That person's job is really tough, because if you're the lead vocalist as a worship leader and you're trying to be in charge of everybody's stuff, it's hard for him to get a chance to walk out there and listen to it and go, oh, the piano just doesn't sound right. What are we doing? What's going on? We need to take some high end off the piano or something, you know. But I need trained ears to walk out there too and listen and come back and take a minute and explain it to the operator why.
Right.
Like I said, my minister of music took me to go see music groups. He took us, got a church bus and took a whole group of us to go hear different kinds of music purposefully and to educate us about music. And we were doing contemporary stuff in 19, whenever that was, late 70s. We were doing guitars, bass, drums. We were doing very youth music in those days. And yet he was going to, fine, we're still going to go out and see, we're going to take you to see classical music. I'm going to take you to go see other things. Are we investing the time? Does the minister of music invest time in those people? That things that will help them grow and help them learn. He could be doing classes with them on music. There's all kind of things that can happen. It's just how do we get them to happen? And it's not just a get here on Sunday morning, throw everything in place, downbeat, go. It's got to be better than that.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I hope we can get better than that.
So what are some other training tips maybe for audio volunteers to give them more practice on gear without them being a hindrance to a live worship experience? You mentioned a couple. And one thing that I've done at the churches that we've served is we had a whole Monday night training experience where it was nothing but the band would come in and rehearse, but all the technical volunteers would come in as well. And so it gave them a non-stress practice environment to mess up, to learn, to do things like that. So what are some tips like that that you might train audio volunteers with?
Not What you're describing is exactly what you have to do, and to some degree, I think there's this. We need to have a bit of a. I'm trying to remember what language to use here, where you. We have grades in school. You have kindergarten, then you get to first, second, third. You have graded progression as you're trained. My opinion is we need to have some of that within the tech realm. Someone who knows nothing about technology, fine, but there's things you can learn and be taught that are at your level and you work up. Yeah, I would love to see a lot more organization, if you will, and thought go into starting people young and working them up. And at the same time, yeah, they need to be able to come in on rehearsal. They need to be willing to come in on rehearsal nights. Not necessarily every rehearsal, but as often as they can, be there for rehearsal, help them learn the songs. Somebody needs to help there with them. Who's making the judgments? Yes, that sounds good. That doesn't sound good. And not just telling them to change it. Why should I change it? Here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I want you to do. You know, I see so many churches have a music director, and typically the music director is sort of left holding the bag with technology. Yeah, the tech directors more often than not are so heavily involved in video and the visual parts of it. Audio is sort of it's sort of the get by, hope it's okay. If you're multi-tracking and then doing something later, yeah, you have a chance to make things better later. But we're not really. I'm with you. I want to have a graded program, a graded class, to be able to start people simple and work their way up, and yet getting them the place to practice becomes sort of the problem.
Yeah. A lot of churches don't do that.
Don't have the time, don't want the place, and don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Or they throw them in on Sunday, and that's what I kind of get frustrated at. Is we use Sunday as our practice. Environment. I'm like, that's game day. What are we doing doing trainings during the middle of, I mean, yes, we can have somebody beside us and watching us and that sort of thing. I'm talking about like full on training during a live environment. I see that and I get a little bit frustrated about that. Do you see that as well? Do you think that we should practice at other times?
I absolutely agree. Yeah, and the problem is when a program is going on, when you're on, you can't really be doing that much training right that moment. Somebody's got to be focusing on the gig and doing it. And if you're over there going, here's why I'm doing it. Number one is it's not much opportunity to talk like that. Without somebody getting frustrated because you're talking. But how do you take a service and at the end of that service have an afterglow is not the word. Do you take notes and at the end of it do you sit down and work out and take and learn from the notes? Here's what we did. Here's what happened. Does anybody know how we can work this out? Right. And you know, have something right after the program, before the program, after the program, both. So you can follow up, and who's keeping the records and sort of those type things? Who's really managing this whole organization? That's what I'm looking at. A tech director, you should not be sitting there. You should be managing all these people and training them where you can. That would be more of a, maybe that's not the right title. Maybe there needs to be a tech trainer or someone who technical manager who's dealing with that stuff, not so much the operations, but organizing and dealing with all the people and stuff. Yeah. It's a huge need. It is. It's giant.
So what are some ways that maybe church media staff can find ways to help individuals find their gifts or talents and develop them? Maybe give us some developmental tricks that you've used along the way.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that I've got one or not. Holy moly. My whole thing has always just been able to sit down with people, talk to them, deal with it. I do classes oftentimes with churches. A church will have me come in and do a Saturday afternoon class, and we may get into that evening, and then I stay for the next morning and take notes. And then Sunday afternoon after the service, here's things I heard, here's things you ought to work on. And that's a nice little chunk of business to go do that, but typically it's not enough. It needs to be done for more than that. And again, I come back to the management. I need the overall manager who's managing this group, that's dang near a full-time job to deal with all of it, to deal with all the issues, all the music that's got to be done, all the notes, the history, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, what piece of equipment is out for rent or out for repair. Who's looking at the big picture and organizing and dealing with it? Disney had people. I mean, we had classes. When you came in as a new tech, you took a new tech class, and then you went upstairs and you learned how somebody taught you how to roll up a mic cord properly, and you went out in the field and used some of those techniques. But you weren't thrown onto a console until you had significant. Learned everything else.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're that good on churches about sort of having, how do we work together and yet at the same time have everybody have a good time doing it. I don't want this to become a yelling and screaming monster mess is what it so easily becomes that if we're not careful.
This has been an All Access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Hey guys, Katie here, Executive Director at 1230 Media. At our ministry, we've produced hundreds of graphic design projects for churches and ministries of all sizes. Our creative team can produce sermon series artwork, social media graphics, logo designs, postcards, posters, bulletins, and more. We work one-on-one with your church to deliver graphics tailor-made for your congregation and your culture. Let us help you transform the worship experiences people have at your church. Contact me directly, and I'd love to send you a custom quote on your next design project. You can call me at 910-849-1230. Again, that's 910-849-1230. I look forward to hearing from you.
For more on the podcast, including links to other resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com. You can click on episode 172 for the show notes for this episode. Why not? It's free.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, we'll wrap our three-part series with audio engineer legend Bill Thrasher. In 2 weeks on the show, we're going to have a 1230 Christmas party. I'll be joined by several members of our team, including my wife Katie and the hosts of the Youth Room podcast, my buddies Trevor Miller and Daniel Stavanis. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun with the team, and we're going to be giving a lot of stuff away in the categories of worship media, custom media, and training. You want to be here because we're going to be giving a lot of free content away in a couple of weeks on the show. And thank you guys for listening. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.